what is your position on the governor's approach to oil tax reform, and do you believe our current oil tax policy does need to be reformed? And we'll start with Jonathan.
I believe the governor's approach to oil tax reform is dead wrong. It does no favors to the future of Alaska. And the introduction of that bill and the passage of that bill, House Bill 110, in the State House, which my opponent voted for, is an act of gross financial irresponsibility. And it has no place in the future of Alaska. And I can't be more clear on this point. It is the linchpin of Alaska, oil revenue, and if we are to surrender that revenue, every project in Alaska faces a very dire future, whether it's Blue Lake or funding for operating budgets of schools, ADF&G, you name it. It's a huge issue. I think it's issue number one in Alaska, and it's very important that when pressure comes to bear, our legislators can take a stand and protect the revenue and the oil that we own. This is an ownership state. Wally Hickel, he's not really a Democrat or a Republican. I'm thinking of this question about the Republican you admire most, but this is something that Wally Hickel got. Alaska's an ownership state. We own the resources, and I think we need to take that perspective to the oil resource that we own. And the governor's approach, I don't think, was in that tradition. That said, I do think oil taxes can benefit from revision. And I think competition is very much a good thing, and that you have three majors up on the North Slope that are bloated and, I would say, not as competitive as they could be. And I think one, incentivization for increased production makes a lot of sense. Mind you, that was not in the governor's oil tax bill. That was not in House Bill 110, which the State House passed. I think that makes a lot of sense. I think provisions that allow for increased competition for small, hungry, independent producers, Armstrong Oil and Gas, you name it, I think that makes a lot of sense as well. Competition is a good thing, and those provisions were not present in the governor's bill and not present in the bill that the State House passed and my opponent voted for.
Thank you. Every once in a while, you have to vote on an issue that you may not like. It's iffy, but HB 110 did bring to light, and everybody still talks about oil taxes. It didn't pass. We sent it to the Senate. They held on to it for 18 months. But everybody in every debate says, you voted for it. Yes, and you remember that. So it's going to be addressed. That's the key thing. I'm not ashamed of that I voted for it because it's there. It's hanging there, and we know we have to address it. Being the co-chair of finance and looking at the revenue that's declining, oil productions, oil revenue is declining with production. We have to address it. If we want to live with the lifestyle we've become accustomed, we have to address it. And that's the key thing. The bill was introduced. It failed. It was reintroduced in special session. The governor withdrew it. Why? Because it wasn't going anywhere. We had two hearings on it in the House Finance. After reviewing some new facts, it just died there. Somebody said, well, he withdrew it. He said, yeah, he withdrew it. He's a good politician. You don't want to have the pressing at the end of the session. His bill failed. He withdrew it. I mean, it saves everybody face. I've had bills, and I have to point to Representative Munoz. We've withdrawn bills, and she did that last year, withdrew it on the floor. You do that if you don't like what's happening to it. And so I think we have reform. We have to. If people want to continue to fund education, to fund fisheries, everything that we do, we have to reform in order to make sure we get our production back up. And there are incentives for the JIPOs, independents out there, is tax credits. We have that in place from before. And so they can go out there, drill, look for gas, do fracking up there, whatever they're doing. And they, if they don't find any oil, they can sell their tax credits, I believe, to the state. And we're trying to get them incentives to them. Again, it wasn't probably the perfect bill and it died. But we know it'll be readdressed, and I think we get into a room and people address that issue, but you know, do a little better job than the last time and go forward. I just want to point out, so I have the 30 seconds, we do forward fund education. We fund 1 year and carry one. We don't have incremental increases. Big difference. We do forward fund so the school districts know they have 1 year plus the next, but we don't have automatic incremental increases. Thank you.
Gentlemen, thank you. Okay, ladies and gentlemen, two more questions from you, and then closing statements. We'll wrap it pretty close to the half hour. So this question, going back to, we've plowed this field a little bit. We'll start with Bill on this one. Knowing that the city and borough of Sitka has large capital needs with the upcoming Blue Lake project and much needed infrastructure, how will you be able to bring in state funding for those projects?
Thank you. When I came down here the first time, I got a question and came down to the chamber, wanted to know, who are you? So I came down and we took a ride out here to Silver Bay with Gary and Senator Sedman and I, and we said, here's where we're going to have the dock, and we need $3.5 million. And Bert and I looked at each other, you can't build a dock for $3.5, $8.5 million. There was a bill put together called a geobond, and if you want your dock built out there, you better say yes to the geobond on November 6th. We put $8.5 million for that dock out there. That's how you get money, is you have people in the right positions to go forward and able to get the funding that you need. If we're both gone, you're going to have a lot more trouble in trying to find a friend. Our Representative Munoz is going to have her hands full just trying to keep the capital in Juneau. And that's the scary part of this, is if we went off. But having people in finance is a place to have your representatives and legislators. I look back to the days when you had Grusendorf and Lyason, great things happened in Sitka. You have that chance again to have it happen. But you need to have people in the right spot and understand what your issues are. And you're not going to get addressed if you're not in the majority or sitting on fine. You can. You'll bring it up, but nobody's going to listen to you. I've been there too long to know that your voice is pretty silent then. So thank you.
I think if you drove out to Silver Bay, one of the things you'd notice going out there to see the dock is that the road is cratered, like it's been through some sort of war. The state of basic infrastructure in Sitka is nothing to be proud of. We've got deferred maintenance. A lot of basic needs are not being addressed. And I think when it comes to experience or influence in the legislature, that's great responsibility, and it needs to be wielded appropriately. And I mean, with all due respect to trout fishing in Swan Lake, we have a $100,000 dock that just went in. And you know, I used to go fishing there when I was little in like a canoe or a kayak, and you know, I'm sure people still do. And it's great to have a dock that facilitates that. But there's a certain irony that when the state is spending $100,000 on a dock in Swan Lake, and pretty much from any direction for every state highway to get to that dock, you have to expose the suspension of your car to something it should never experience on a state highway. I think that's a question of mixed priorities. And right now, when it comes to the state appropriating money for needs in communities, it's a question of priorities. And we need to make sure that we prioritize basic infrastructure and basic needs before anything else. And that hasn't happened in the past. And I think it's hugely important we do it in the future. So a Swan Lake dock can hold until I think we can make sure that the road out to Silver Bay is taken care of, that our harbors are in a state of good repair, the airport has the investment that it needs. These are job creators. And I think for the future of Sitka and Southeast, we need jobs. And we need that infrastructure that underlies the ability for this region to survive into the future.